Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Running. Liftoff.
We have a liftoff. My fellow Americans, greetings. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I want to talk about some nanny state news at the moment. Because we've talked about all this other stuff, and I'll get to your phone calls here in this segment. This won't take long. I just did not know that this was a thing, and it has become a thing, and I would only imagine it's a matter of time before it comes here. In the European Union now, cars are mandated to have intelligent speed assistance. So the European Union. So a lot of cars these days now have adaptive cruise control. My wife hates it with a burning, burning passion. Adaptive cruise is when the car in front of you slows down, your cruise control slows down instead of staying at the same speed. And next thing you know, you're doing 70 miles an hour and the person in front of you has a Florida tag, which means they're doing 60 in the fast lane. And so now suddenly you're doing 60. You didn't even realize it until you're like, what's going on here? And then you realize the Floridian has screwed everybody up. And y'all, listen, I realize I love y'all down in Florida, and I don't know why, but it is always, always coming through Georgia. It's the Floridians who get in the left lane, or I got to say it is a certain class of non-white woman. I don't mean that to be racist. I'm just telling you it's my experience. Gets in the left lane and like, this is my lane. You can't make me get out of this lane and I'm going to drive as slow as I want to drive. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing this to the rest of us today? Pet peeve here. Today, on my way to the office, could count when you went down the hill and up the hill, 15 cars. 15 cars in the left lane. And it was an African-American lady in a white Honda Pilot at the front of the line wearing AirPods, no less, doing less than 70 miles an hour. Everybody's having to go around when they can. And I'm just like, why? Why are you doing this to all of us? You're not even doing this. It's not like they were doing 70 in that speed limit. No, 65 miles an hour, the speed limit 70. Didn't want to leave. She did not have a floor to play. Usually it's the Floridians. Well, now in the European Union, they've mandated intelligent speed assistance. All the cars have to have GPS and speed sign recognition. And if you go over the speed limit, the cars slow down automatically. I did not know this was a thing. This is from LBC in Great Britain. New cars sold in Europe starting this week will host automatically installed speed limiters following the introduction of a new EU law. The technology allows the car to automatically restrict its speed based on GPS location, speed sign recognition, and cameras within the vehicle. It does so by reducing the engine power until the relevant speed limit is met. This is not done simply by applying the brakes, which could be dangerous, but by reducing the engine's power. However, drivers will first get a warning they are driving too fast and be told to slow down. The law goes into effect this week. This is the nanny states of Europe have decided to do this. Can you imagine if America, you know, it already passed to have breathalyzers installed in cars in this country. You know, some nanny stater in Washington is looking at this European law saying this is a great idea. These people, there will be a riot in this country. So in my state of Georgia, years ago, there were awful, awful speed traps in parts of Georgia where, for example, the speed limit would go from 55 to 25 without notice. There would be no speed reduction ahead signs, nothing. And so you go from 55, suddenly it's 25. The speed limit sign would be placed in an obscure spot, and there would be Sonny Bubba Junebug Johnson in his state patrol car there waiting to give you a ticket. Let me see your drive license. You ain't from around here, is ya? You'd have known about the stop. And, of course, they wouldn't stop you if you were from the town. They'd only stop you. So the Georgia legislature had enough. And they passed a law that you could go within 10 miles of the speed limit without local police being able to use speed detection to stop you. And the speed traps had to be so many yards from the reduced speed sign. There had to be notice of the reduced speed sign, all that sort of stuff. Because the highway patrol was getting so bad about running speed stops, and then the cops were expected to hit commissions and stuff like that. And the legislature had enough. They finally changed it. Now, the exception is the state patrol in Georgia. The state police in Georgia doesn't matter. They typically only stop you, the state patrol does, their super speeder, because they're not expected to get commissions off traffic stops like some local police are. They all deny it, but we all know they do. So if you mandated these cars in Georgia, who cares what the state law is? You'd have to go the speed limit, and that's annoying. Nobody wants to go exactly the speed limit except the people who sit in the left lane, and this is my lane. My tax dollars pay for it. You can't get me out of here. It'd just be absolutely absurd. Now, on top of all of that, you have all of these mandates in this country now to roll people over to electric vehicles, but there's a problem. 62% of people, according to recent polling, 62% of people who have purchased an electric vehicle have buyer's remorse, would like to go back to a gas-powered vehicle, and yet can't do it because the resale value of their electric car is not significant because nobody wants the electric vehicle anymore. They've largely maxed out on the desire for electric vehicles. The number one complaint of the people, it's a pretty significant number, over 60% of buyers of electric cars want to go back to gas-powered cars. The number one reason is range anxiety. And the number two reason is route conformity, which I could have told you this is going to be a problem. With route conformity, you can't just take a leisurely drive through the countryside now. You've got to conform your route to where the charging stations are. My wife and kids and I, we like to pile into my gas-guzzling SUV from Jim Hardman GMC in Gainesville, Georgia. And we like to ride the countryside looking for deer in the evening as the sun sets. And this time of year, you got all the little babies out. They still have their spots. They haven't quite lost them yet. And we'll ride through the countryside, country roads in middle Georgia, channeling some John Denver there. Can't do that with an electric car unless you're fully charged. Because then you get the range anxiety, you got to have route conformity, and people are kind of tired of it. They're ready to go back to their gas-powered cars. So the government in this country has mandated moving to electric vehicles. California wants to ban the sale of gas-powered vehicles, and people are really just, they've had enough of it. And if they can move back to a gas-powered car, they are. And the problem is that the people who are trying to trade in their electric cars are finding that the trade-in value isn't as good as they thought it would be because a lot of people don't actually want electric cars, particularly used electric cars where the battery's already been used enough. And so they're stuck with car payments, and they can't get out of it. It's causing all sorts of problems, and it's going to be a continued problem. Now, can you imagine if the government then imposes these sorts of limits on speed? And I'm sure you use a software update in some electric vehicles. That's another thing. The software updates in vehicles drives you crazy. It's an attack on the poor is what it ultimately amounts to. The mandates for reverse cameras, for forward cameras, for all the safety features and things like that, it drives up the cost of a basic car. Rick Perry, when he was governor in Texas, hi, governor. When he was the governor of Texas, mandated a $10,000 college degree. And the universities in Texas revolted against him. They ultimately, because the legislature mandated it, found a way to do it. They didn't want to do it. They've worked very hard to get out of it. But Rick Perry's idea was that it shouldn't be impossible to get a college degree for $10,000. It's not a special degree. It's not a master's. It's not a doctorate. Just a basic Bachelor of Liberal Arts. You should be able to get one for $10,000. It's crazy to think that you can't. He's right. In the same way, you should be able to get a basic car that doesn't have all the bells and whistles. And yet, increasingly, because of government mandates, yet again, the poor are the ones screwed. The poor are the ones forced to take public transportation. And what about the poor who live in rural areas where public transportation is available? Well, you got to move to the city. The rich white guys who mandated all the safety features, they don't care about you and your personal plight. You're supposed to conform to them. And that's part of the problem with so many of the experts these days and so many of the government bureaucrats is they want you to conform your life to them instead of them thinking about the context of your life. Now, back to the phones. Tony, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being patient.
Thanks for having me on, Eric.
Sure.
Just a quick comment about electric cars. I think electric cars are going to be like iPhones that are going to become disposable. And at the end, you just rid of it. And I don't think we're years away from that. But called is I thought – last night couldn't have played into Donald Trump's hands than it did. You know, say what you will about Trump, but we have three Supreme Court justices, you know, on a regular basis conform to the, you know, what a Republican would them to do. We have two more coming up, and they, more than Donald Trump's 4 years, the history of this country, 30 or 40 years. So what happened last night, in my mind, Biden did an okay job. You know, they got his drugs right, and, you know, he read his speech okay, and he knew at least the gist of what he was going to be asked, and he was very well prepared for it. Enough that fire him. And what that's going to mean in the next, and he's not going to drop out. At least
I hope not.
Well, me too. Means, though, is for the next 4 months, run the campaign that he 2020 from his basement. Going to have to be visible.
Yep.
To be out in public. And the more he talks, more he's going to trip over himself. I mean, they're just, you know that as. And so I'm glad he had a decent, because I really think, care about who the next two, maybe John Roberts goes away, justices are, this is the road.
Yeah, we've got to worry about, for example, we've got to worry about Clarence Thomas. He's the oldest justice. He's been there the longest. We got to worry about Clarence Thomas. We you know, John Roberts hasn't been in fantastic health. You do have to worry about him. The Supreme Court, we've still got a number of appointees we got to worry about. I'm concerned about who's going to replace Clarence Thomas. That's another reason I would prefer not to have a Democrat elected in November. And we got to be concerned about this. Sonia Sotomayor is not in great health. The left's been trying to pressure her to step down and not do a Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We got real issues out there. And yeah, you're right. Biden can't stay in the basement now. He's got to get out there and expose himself. The more he does, the worse it's going to get. He doesn't have the stamina to do it, but he's too arrogant to get out of the race at this moment unless the Democrats find a way to convince him.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, and you can be on the program. And Anthony, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Eric. Still praying for your wife, man. I know she went through some things, and I believe the Lord has continued to heal her and with her foot and getting all that stuff together, man. You're an amazing guy, man. When you talk openly about your wife, and you just help us with the prayer, man.
Thank you very much.
It's awesome. But with that being said, Eric, I called you before. I know you've been in politics for a long time. I almost called you Rush, but I didn't want to do a Biden thing. But I said, man, you should run. You should have ran for president. I know you don't want to do it. But I looked at President Biden last night, 81 years old. I'm about ready to collect Social Security. I get letters saying, hey, you want to delay your Social Security till 70? No, I don't. They should have term limits for the whole government, at Supreme Court and all. They should have age limit and term limit. If you get two terms, great. But if you get a certain age at 65, 70, you should be done and let someone else come in. He talked about adding the younger group in. He's not going to step down for that. So since he put that out there, 70 years old, those guys should be done. I don't think you should be able to camp out in the government forever.
You know, so you say this. Remember, Nikki Haley was one who said she wanted to mandate cognitive tests and maybe put an age cap on the presidency. And I think she was right, even though people dismissed her at the time and said it was opportunistic. Yeah. I'm kind of thinking so. We need to. Anthony, thanks for the kind words. Look, the American people get who they deserve when they vote, frankly. And we have a guy with cognitive impairment, and that's what Americans wanted, and they're getting a dose of the medicine that they themselves prescribed themselves, and I don't think many people are happy by it. What's interesting is I'm noting the major shift in some of the tone from progressives is now kind of back to attacking Donald Trump and Biden as the standard bearer. I'm starting to think some Democrats are beginning to believe that they're not going to get him out of the race as much as they say, but maybe they can. We'll see. I hope they don't. We need him. We should have him. He should be held accountable. Hillsdale College wants to send you a copy of the Declaration of Independence for you or someone you love. Very easy to get. It's completely free. You go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com, ericforhillsdale.com. And Hillsdale College will send you a copy of the Declaration of Independence, and you can watch a video is a testament to the genius of Thomas Jefferson and the ideas of our founding. You just go to Eric, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You can also, if you scroll down the page, you can see Hillsdale has for sale some videos of some of their great courses that they've given on the Constitution and the founding of the country. You can get those. They're really worth walking through. I've done the Constitution one. They're great. You can build a relationship with Hillsdale College. All you have to do is go to ericforhillsdale.com. Watch the video, sign up, get a free copy of the Declaration of Independence. You can buy some of these courses if you want. Start building a relationship with Hillsdale College. It's worth it. It's ericforhillsdale.com. That's the website. Go check it out today.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
This is remarkable news if you haven't heard this. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson. It's an open line Friday. The phone lines are still open, 877-973-7425. This news from NBC, hackers stole 6 months' worth of call and text message records of nearly every AT&T cellular network customer, the company said Friday. A breach that has the potential to reveal sensitive information about millions of Americans. The company said in an SEC filing that it learned from an internal investigation that in April, hackers unlawfully accessed and copied AT&T call logs that were saved on a third-party cloud platform. The data contains records of calls and texts between approximately May 1st and October 31st, 2022, and on January 2nd, 2023. The content of the calls and messages was not compromised, and customers' personal information was not accessed. But the records did include phone numbers. Such information is often called metadata, which is information about communications and considered highly sensitive, especially when collected and analyzed at large scales, to reveal patterns and connections. AT&T's wireless network has 127 million devices connected to it. While the data does not include customer names, there are often ways, including utilizing publicly available online tools, to find the name associated with a specific phone number. The Justice Department and FBI each said it is working with AT&T to investigate the hack. The FCC has launched an investigation as well. This is considered a mega breach. The metadata stolen at this scale has the potential to be a major national security threat, as well as a problem for businesses and individuals. Why? Because a lot of government agents use the AT&T cell network. So if you can find the phone number of, let's say, a Secret Service agent who is using AT&T, you can see who they were texting back and forth with, who they were calling back and forth. You aren't going to see the contents of the messages. You're not going to be able to hear the phone calls. You're not going to be able to read the text messages, but you can see where they were based on geolocation data, when they called, who they called, how often they called, and you can build out a map of information of this person knows this person was in this location. It's a dangerous breach, and it comes from a third-party site. A lot of people are pointing the finger at a third-party company that others like Ticketmaster used when its data was hacked. This is a bad, bad data breach. I am an AT&T customer. I mean, I got nothing to hide with them, but I know there are people in the FBI, national security, government officials who use the AT&T network, and it's going to be easy to map out those people. Donald Trump had an iPhone. I don't know who his carrier is, but if Trump's one of those people, you'd be able to map out who he knew and talked to and did all this other stuff. Deeply, deeply dangerous hacks and no idea on who actually did it. Big story. All right, phone number, 877-973-7425. Melanie's been waiting patiently. Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show, Melanie. How are you?
Hey, Eric, I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call. Listen, I need your help with something. Over the past few weeks, I've done what you said and listened to different news shows. I've listened to CNN, MSNBC, and the like, and I keep hearing people say that President Biden has had a remarkable presidency so far. But Eric, bless his heart, I can't think of a single good thing that he has done. Can you please tell me anything positive that he's done for us? Because I want to write him down.
He's had a remarkable presidency, but I don't like anything he's done. He's done an Infrastructure Investment Act that was bipartisan.
Bad.
He's done the Green New Deal bad through the Inflation Reduction Act bad. He's broken the country's treasury bad. There's nothing good that he's done. That's what the Democrats, it's like the Democrats keep saying he's a good man. He's a good man who needs to leave. I'm sorry, but a good man does not abandon his sons after their mother dies so he can go play senator in Washington, marries
You're
the
exactly
babysitter,
right.
and then sees his kids all become drug addicts. I'm sorry. And then you don't run for president when you're in the middle of a son going through drug recovery, your daughter's still in the middle of addiction and your family fall apart. You just don't do that. But Joe Biden did. That's
right.
Not a good man.
No, it's not. It breaks my heart to see that our country has very few statesmen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They just seem to be gone. They just seem to be gone on either side.
They do. It's sad to see on both sides of the aisle. And by the way, so Melanie, thanks for the phone call. And there is a rumor afoot, you should know. I read it more as wishful thinking and speculation, but it's being treated as a rumor that is going to happen. I will believe it when I actually see it. But the Daily Beast is reporting that a group of Democratic leaders, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, and Jim Clyburn, will be going to the White House. Oh, and Patty Murray, who is the Senate pro tem of the Senate, she's the oldest ranking Democrat, not in leadership, that they will be going to the White House to tell Joe Biden it is time for him to step aside. Also, we know now that Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic leader in the House, met with Joe Biden after his news conference last night and did not offer his endorsement and said he had a frank exchange with the president, who said that apparently made sure he knew there would be great discontent. The president intends to have phone calls now with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus today and tomorrow with the new Democrat coalition and the Congressional Progressive Caucus on Saturday. The meetings come as they are starting to show some erosion of support. The new UK Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, said Biden was in good form during the private conversations. And then there's this from CNN. I'll read this word for word from Jeff Cellini at CNN. One thing that House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries did not offer President Biden during their meeting Thursday night was his endorsement. A person familiar with the meeting tells CNN that Jeffries bluntly shared the views of the caucus, as he stated in his letter, but intentionally did not offer an endorsement or say publicly that the decision to step aside from the campaign is Biden's to make. While it is uncertain if Biden directly asked Jeffries for his tacit endorsement, a person familiar with the matter said Jeffries did not extend it after the meeting or in public on Friday. Now, Jeff Cellini as well was on CNN last night with some breaking news you should hear.
Anderson, we are learning tonight that throughout the course of this week, as we've seen the public words from former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, we're learning that she has had a private conversation earlier this week with former President Barack Obama. They have talked about this matter. We do not know exactly the contents of that private conversation, but we do know, talking to a variety of Democrats in a news story just posted moments ago, Isaac DeVera and I talked to many Democrats who are looking to Pelosi and Obama to sort of find a way out of this infighting and crisis that has dominated the Democratic Party. Now, they have intentionally given the president his space and his time on this, but we have seen Speaker Pelosi's very carefully calibrated words. But the new information we are learning that she has had a conversation, perhaps more than one of them, with Barack Obama. Of course, this is very fraught for former President Barack Obama. He has a friendly and loyal relationship with President Biden, but it's also a searing one dating back to 2015 when he urged him not to run for president then against Hillary Clinton. That still hangs over all of this. I'm told he does not want to be too assertive. He does not want to push too much. But it is clear that many Democrats are looking to them to sort of find a way out here. But one Democrat who we're quoting in this story this evening, Anderson, the very senior Democrat, tells us this. They are waiting and watching for President Biden to reach a decision on his own. And we heard Speaker Pelosi say earlier this week she wanted people to wait until after the NATO summit. Well, that NATO summit is now over. So the question is, on Friday going into the weekend, are there any more conversations, private conversations, perhaps with Chuck Schumer and others directly to the White House? Of course, the decision is still President Biden's and his alone, along with his family. But the fact that there are others sort of in this orbit talking about this is certainly significant, as many believe time is running short.
Now, notice that they say they want Biden to make a decision on his own. That is, they know what they expect Joe Biden to decide, and he better decide or else. It's there are now 18 Democrats in the House calling for Joe Biden to step aside. We'll see if Joe Biden can do what he needs to do. This is late breaking from the Politico. A House Democrat who called for Joe Biden to step aside confronted the president directly on a virtual meeting Friday, telling him it was time for someone else to lead. The host of the meeting between the Congressional Hispanic Caucus's political arm and Biden ended it shortly after Representative Mike Levin of California and his comment. The president hosted meetings with various factions of House Democrats, anxious about his future on the ticket on Friday, and had more planned over the weekend. Shortly after the weekend wrapped up, Levin, who hails from a purple district, put out a statement calling on Biden to end his reelection campaign. Several others in that group, however, are among Biden's most vocal proponents on the Hill. Representative Sylvia Garcia of Texas and Lou Correa of California appear to be pre-selected to ask questions. He sounded very lucid, sharp, and engaged, said another pro-Biden Democrat who attended the meeting, who declined to speak about members' private comments. The meeting left Biden's skeptical Hispanic Democrats feeling unsatisfied with his campaign. Biden showed up an hour late to the meeting, according to one of the people familiar with the matter. Biden has been trying to shore up support with key blocs on the Hill, scheduling other meetings with political arms, the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, the centrist New Democrat Coalition, and the Progressive Caucus. Progressive Caucus Chair Premila Jayapal has offered her own lukewarm support of the president, and the chair of the Asian Pacific American Caucus, Judy Chu, has voiced concerns about his candidacy. I need to say something. I think this is important. It needs to be said. We were told that Joe Biden would have a big boy press conference last night. Big boys show up on time. They moved the timing twice, and he still showed up late. And now we know today he had a meeting with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus of Democrats on Capitol Hill to reassure them, and he showed up an hour late for that as well. Big boys show up on time. And if Joe Biden can't be respectful with people's times, there's no reason they should be respectful with him. That's the bottom line here. I would love to see Joe Biden stay in the race. I think that Joe Biden is beatable. It's obvious he's beatable, and he does have problems that can be exploited to beat him. But I would also like Joe Biden to be someone who is respectful of other people's time, including my own, who had to sit and stare and listen to the news commentary while I was waiting to see him stumble out of the gate with Vice President Trump's comment last night. I mean, Joe Biden, if you're going to be a big boy, at least show up on time. Now, I got to tell you, Americans for Prosperity is showing up around the country on time, no less, taking people through the American Press for Prosperity Foundation to the border to see the ecological and humanitarian toll at the border. They would love to have you go with them. They would love to have you learn about the border. They'd love to have you learn about the common sense policy solutions to deal with the border. All you have to do is go to SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com is the website set up by Americans for Prosperity to educate Americans on the common sense solutions to secure the border and secure America. These are actually fairly straightforward policy proposals that conservatives have long advocated for. Americans for Prosperity is pushing Americans to not only support them and learn about them and share them with friends, but also then get involved through the website to get members of Congress to push these common sense conservative popular solutions. Go to Secure Border, Secure America today. Secure Border, Secure America today. Brought to you by my friends, the great group, Americans for Prosperity.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday.
Hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Glad to have you with me. Let's see if I can take Bob's phone call here. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing well. Hope you are, Eric.
I am.
Very good. Hey, I would like your help trying to understand something about the DNC. I'm being amazed at the hand-wringing about, oh, gosh, what do we got? What do we want to do? What can we do to solve our problem here? In other words, get somebody else on the ticket. Now, this is not a group of people that have been plagued by conscience. If history is any example, with Bernie Sanders and maybe RFK Jr. So what is it about the DNC rules that these people can't come together and change? What is the governance of the DNC that precludes rules being changed to get done what they want to get done? That's a very cynical question, but that's the type of
It is a great question, actually. So the nebulous rule that requires the delegates vote for Biden is they have to represent the will of those who sent them. And the interpretation has always been, if you vote for Biden in the primary, that means your will is for the delegate to vote for Biden. Some Democrats are saying they can reinterpret this to mean they want to beat Trump, and that's their will. And they thought Biden could do it. Biden clearly can't, and their will is to beat Trump, not to vote for Biden. I don't know that the Biden campaign would go along with that, and legally the argument would be on their side. However,
does the Biden campaign have to go along with it if the rest of the party doesn't want them?
They don't have to. They can fight it, and legally they've got an argument. But there's one caveat. Under most rules of parliamentary procedure, the rules can be waived or changed by a two-thirds vote. So if someone makes a motion to suspend the rules by a two-thirds vote, they can change that rule at the convention. The delegates at the convention. And they go to the convention. The delegates certified to vote can, by two-thirds vote, change what they're doing. And that's their ultimate loophole, really, is to change the rule so that by two-thirds vote, they can say, we're not bound to vote for Joe Biden. Now, I don't think it would get to that point. I think what would actually happen is Joe Biden would, knowing the votes are there, say, I release my delegates because he doesn't want to be embarrassed in that way. If you have a revolt of two-thirds of your delegates, that's bad, and he's not going to want to make that happen. Now, I got to say something because Mike just emailed me, and Mike is like the fifth person this week to say, actually, Tackit, T-A-C-I-T, should be pronounced Tacit. There's Tacit. You know what? I am in my late 40s, and I have said it Tackit the entire time because I'm an American, and most Americans say Tackit. They don't say Tacit, and I will fall back on the Winston Churchill quote that the French insisted that Winston Churchill should call Paris Paris. And Winston Churchill, when finally confronted by it, said that if that was the case, someone should go back in time and tell his mother to give birth in Paris because he is an Englishman and he says Paris. He is not a Frenchman, so he does not say Paris. I am an American who says Tackit. If you want me to say Tacit, you should ask my mother to get in a time machine and go back to ancient Rome. But thank you all for telling me that it's pronounced Tacit. Yes, I realize if you're highly educated, you say Tacit. In the same way that if you're highly educated, you say all sorts of other things that most normal people don't say. I'm going to keep saying Tackit, and you can just have to forgive me. It really is like five times this week. You're saying Tackit instead of Tacit. I'm not going to say Tacit because I've never said Tacit because I'm an American. I grew up overseas. I was taught it was pronounced Tackit. I'm not going to change now that I'm this old. You can't teach an old dog like me new tricks, and I'm not that old. But I'm just not going to change it and pronounce it the proper Latin way. I say Vini Vidi Vici instead of Weedy Weedy Wiki as well. So, yes, I'm not going to change that either. Now, that being said, you all have a wonderful weekend, including those of you who want to say Tacit. That's fine with me. You do that. I'm going to go play golf now. I'm going to go hit golf balls. Y'all have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday, the start of the Republican National Convention.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this. Or this. Or even this. Well, case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.